Well, I'll be. I didn't have a clue that's what was going on. And it seems as though as we begin to reflect, we begin to sense that there are some things that we find out in the journey that we don't find out during the midst of the journey. And so I want us to talk today about Mary's treasure. And there are a lot of things we could talk about today. We could talk about the fact that yesterday was graduation right here on this campus. Is that right, Brad? Brad's our campus minister at the BCM at ATU, and thank you for your support for him and for us and all that we do, his wife Paige, and there's Jeremiah, I think, right there. So we've got the Branhams with us today. I'm thankful. In fact, Brad's preaching for you next week. I think you're going to have several Baptist collegiate ministers preaching over the next few weeks, Al Ray. I'm pretty sorry about that. That's a rough crowd. But I'm pretty excited about that, too, because why am I here today? Well, there are a couple of reasons I'm here today. I asked to be here today, and I asked for this day. And the reason I asked for this day is it was the first day available. And the second reason I asked for this day is it's Mother's Day. And you know, a lot of times people need to be with their families. And so it's not easy for people to get away and preach on days that are holidays. But for me, it's a little bit different. My children are not at home, and so I can do some things. And my wife graciously allows me to leave today as long as I get back and we celebrate tonight. Hello, is anybody out there? And so we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. But I'm also here today because I love this church. And one of the things that I appreciate so much is not just this building, although I love this building. This is not where you've always been, right? You were in a different building. I love this church because it is a church that has been a church that has blessed my life and has blessed the lives of so many people. And I think that these are transition times in the life of this church. And so I wanted to be here. And so I'm here because I love you. And I believe that God wants you to know that He is up to something big in your life. He is not through with you. Do you believe that? God is at work. And God wants some incredible things to happen from this church. And so what does that mean? Well, I don't know what it means, but I know this. If we journey with Him, He will reveal to us on the way what He wants for us. And so it means a lot of things, but we don't know all that it means. But I want to come and I want to pray with you today. I'm thankful for Al Ray. Thank you for the worship today and for the musicians and just a beautiful time of worshiping the Lord in song. There's nothing more important for the church than to come and worship together. And I'm thankful for the privilege of coming and worshiping with you. So let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for today, and I just want you to bless this church. Father, I want you to bless everybody that's here today, and I want you to speak to our hearts through your word. Because, Lord, we know that the only thing that really is important today is that we get a word from you, that we worship in song and we sing praises to you and we honor you. But we need a word from your word. And so speak to us today, and thank you for this great day. Thank you for Mother's Day. Father, thank you for every mother that's here. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would just encourage them. For those that are here and maybe their children are not with them, I pray that you just bless them and allow them in the midst of not being able to get together just to have a sense of thankfulness and a sense of a privilege of having family. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to look to you as we begin to look at our families and look at the story of Mary and the treasure that's in her heart. And Father, I just pray that you would be with Jonathan. Thank you for his leadership in this church and bless him and his family. Father, thank you for Teresa and the work that she does here and for all of the staff. God, I just pray that you bless them. I thank you for teachers and I thank you for deacons and I thank you for lay people and for anyone that's here today that would call this place their home. Father, bless them today and encourage them. And Lord, thank you that Second Baptist Church is a place where you reside, a place where you are present. And Lord, we know we're not perfect, and we know that we are not sometimes who we want to be, but we know that you are here and that you are powerful and mighty, and you can continue to lead us and bless us. Father, thank you for Robin. Thank you for his life, for his family. I pray you'll bless him, encourage his family. Lord, in this transition time, we thank you that you will have him in your hands. And Father, we know now that you have another person for this church. And in this transition time, we come to you, Lord, asking that you would just bless us and help us to know each step that we need to take. Help us to know where to go, where to lean. And Father, help us to learn to relax and to be still and to know you. God, would you speak to our hearts? Father, we want to come to you today And Lord, if that means we come to You in praise, we come in praise. If it means we come in confession, then we come in confession. Oh God, forgive us for our sin. Create in us a clean heart. Father, if it means we come in the sense of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, whatever it is, Lord, we come into Your presence knowing that it's holy ground and knowing that this building is not just a building, but it is a place where Your church gathers and that You are the head of this church. God bless these days. And Father, we pray that as we worship today in Your Word and as we get a word from You, that You would speak to our hearts. And Lord, we will give You the praise. You are such a wonderful and awesome God. Thank You, Jesus. For it is in the precious, powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When I was in college, I had the privilege of working in a church that was called Oak Avenue Baptist Church. Now, I don't know if we have any readers in here, but if you've ever read any of John Grisham's books, and the one in particular, The Innocent Man, then if you read on page 8, there is a church that's mentioned there, and it's Oak Avenue Baptist Church. Well, I served there as an associate pastor, and it was just a great world for me and did a lot of fun things there. And so in that world, one of my responsibilities was working with children, and I would work with the children. And so every Saturday we would do a thing called Young Disciples, and it was just kind of fun to get with them and teach them about the Word of God. And so I just kind of fell in love with those young people. And you know, these children have parents. Did you know that? It's pretty amazing. And so the parents would kind of get connected. And so I was connected with them and had fun with them. And so it was really kind of a neat world. But there was one particular mom that had two children that would come. And it was interesting because these two children literally had nothing. Their family was broken. Their mom and dad were separated. The mom was so broken. And so in our community, it was a community that we had to kind of go out and encourage some people to come from broken homes, from broken lives. And so we could go not very far from our church and find brokenness. And that's true here, right? In fact, most churches, every Sunday morning when I preach, I drive around those churches, and I'm amazed that no matter what church I go to, and there are 1,500 Arkansas Baptist churches, there are 42 associations, and I bring you greetings today from Dr. Sonny Tucker, the executive director from Arkansas Baptist State Convention, and I'm thankful for the privilege of being able to serve with you and with all of our churches. But it's interesting, as I begin to work in this church, I begin to meet this person. And as I travel around the churches, I see great needs, but I saw needs in this church as well. So we just began to love on that family, encourage that family. It wasn't very long that they began to come. And one Saturday, it was all over. Everything was done. Everybody had kind of gone home, but the two children were still there. The mom had not shown up. And so when the mom got there, I just said, hey, can I take the two children? We're going to get some ice cream. Would that be okay? And she just had kind of teared up a little bit and said, that'd be great. And so she went back home, and we went to get ice cream, and it was pretty cool. So I had a great time, and we got back to the house, and I let them out, and I went about my work. I didn't think about anything about it until that next day on Sunday. I couldn't believe it, because that next day, these two little children came down the aisle not to make a profession of faith, not to give their life to Jesus, not to repent of their sin, but they came down the aisle to meet me, and they walked up to me, and they had a little gift in their hand to give me a gift. And I need to tell you something, that was really unbelievable. So I took this little gift and I opened it in front of them, and it was a tie tack. Now, it's in I have this tie tack, and it's in in my house, and it's in a little bitty place where I keep it, and it's pretty cool. But I didn't wear it today because it's really ugly. So I'm not going to wear it today, but I need to tell you something. I treasure that tie tack, and I've kept it since college, and I keep it to always remind me of something very important. Two little children who really didn't have the $1.50 that it took to buy that tie tack, but their mom, and together with them, they came together and gave me that gift. And I need to tell you something, I treasure that gift. Do you have anything that you treasure? Well, yeah, we treasure each other. We treasure our homes. We treasure a lot of things. But do you have anything that you really treasure in your heart? Not the kind of thing that's expensive, but the kind of thing that impacts your life and brings change to you. When I receive that little tie tack, and every time that I look at it, I'm always reminded that there's a world that has great need. And I'm also reminded that people who have little give much. What's in your treasure chest today? as we read today, there, you know, it's interesting, it's Mother's Day, but I really don't want to do a Mother's Day message necessarily, but I want us to talk about a mother in the Scripture, someone who treasured something in her heart. Let's look what Scripture says. Because many times as we read this passage, we read it, but we speak about Jesus, but sometimes we miss Mary and what was happening in her life. And so in Luke 2, and in verse 50, I want us to read three verses. And then I want you to keep your Bibles open because I want us to look at four passages in Luke 1 and 2. So let's keep your Bibles open. Luke 2, verse 50. And the Scripture says this, "But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them." Now let me stop at that just for a moment because we began kind of in the middle of a thought. But notice that they would be Joseph and Mary, the parents of Jesus. They did not understand Jesus and what he was doing. They did not understand the statement that he had made to them. Now, you know this statement. The statement was, well, you know I have to be about my Father's business. You know I needed to be in my Father's house. And the Lord Jesus, when all of the others had made their way all the way back to Nazareth and were headed back to Nazareth after the Passover event in Jerusalem, and so Jesus and his parents were supposed to be going in that caravan. And so Mary and Joseph started down the way. And as they started down the way, they assumed that Jesus was with someone else. And so when they found out, when they stopped that night that he was not there, they became anxious. The Scripture says, parents, have you ever become anxious about your children? Somebody is asleep out there, I'm telling you. Have you ever become anxious about your children? Now, I need to tell you what's really fun is when you get old enough and your children get a little bit anxious about you. Where were you, Dad? Why didn't you call? Well, I was just teaching you how many times I had to go with that. They were anxious. They were concerned. And so they came back to Jesus, and Mary was not chastising Jesus, but she was saying, why did you do this to us? And Jesus came back and asked the question, and he said, do you not realize I needed to be in my Father's house? Now, our Lord Jesus is 12 years of age, and our Lord Jesus is now beginning to take a stand for who he is, that he is the God-man. And so Jesus is proclaiming something that Mary knew about, but Mary had never really seen expressed in the life of her little 12-year-old boy. And how many times we look at our children, and I don't care if they're 20, 30, 40, or 60, they're still children to us, right? They're still our little children, our little baby. And so it's really kind of amazing sometimes how we treat our children rather than releasing them and empowering them. But here Mary was speaking about a 12-year-old. And Jesus said, I need to be in my Father's house. Now notice what the Scripture says in verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. Now let's think about that just for a moment. Because the Lord Jesus went down with them. Now, if you read in the early part of the Scripture, he came up to Jerusalem. And now they're going back down to Nazareth. And the Lord Jesus moved back down into Nazareth. And for, we find out, 18 more years, we really hear very little about Jesus. We hear very little about Mary. But we find that Jesus, from the age of 12 to 30, was in the midst of Nazareth. And he was a carpenter. And he was learning the trade of carpentry. We find that somehow, some way, Joseph moved out of the scene. We don't know what happened to Joseph, but now it's just Mary and Jesus and the other children. And so as we begin to look at this passage, we're learning some things when we move to this next place where it says, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And so Mary treasured in her heart all of these things. And that's what I want us to think about just for a moment. Mary's treasure. What do you treasure in your heart? Mary treasured all of these things. Now, the word things is an interesting word here, but the concept really is Mary treasured all. And so the message really is she just treasured all of it. And she began to hold that whatever her son was saying in reference to this, she treasured it, and she treasured it in her heart. And so when we talk about the heart in the Bible, the heart is internal. And so it's not an external heart, but it's an internal heart. And when we talk about heart in the Bible, seldom do we talk about this organ in our body that pumps blood, but we're talking about the heart of a person. And so when we're talking about the internal heart, we're speaking about that that's internal, and we're also speaking about that that is center. And so the message of the heart is that it's focused on being centered. And so in the scripture we find over and over that it speaks about the fact that the heart is the center of who man is on the inside. And that is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we don't have time to go into all of this, but in the Bible, all the different places that we can find places where it speaks about the heart as the place where we think, the place where we ponder. The heart is the place where we decide. The heart is the place where we are literally willfully making decisions. The heart is the place where we feel. And so it's mind, will, and emotion. And the heart is internal, and it's center. But the heart is also this message of one who would, and let's use the word courage. When someone has courage, they will not lose what? Heart. And so the message here is a message of heart that is courageous. And so the Bible speaks about heart as a place where we can lose heart, but we can also be courageous. And so as we walk through our world and we're treasuring in our heart, sometimes our heart is weak, and sometimes we lose courage, and sometimes we need encouragement, which is an injection of courage so that we can go on and be faithful in our heart, in the center of who we are. But when we talk about heart, it also speaks about the issue of a hard-hearted person. You know some people like that, right? In fact, I think all of us resemble that at times in our life. There's a bit of hard-heartedness in all of us. Sometimes we become a little callous. Sometimes we become a little hard-hearted. But the message here is that Mary pondered these things in her heart. And the message we want to find today is that Mary was willing to let her heart always be soft for God's will and direction in her life. And Mary treasured in her heart what Jesus was saying. So Mary began to think about these things. She began to treasure these things. She began to keep these things. And the word treasure is the word keep. And so when you think about treasure today, we don't think about something that goes in a treasure chest, but we think about something treasured that we're going to keep, and we're not going to let go of it because we treasure it. And so the message here of treasure is a message of keeping. It's maintaining. It's carrying on. But Mary treasured these things in her heart. Now, as we look back in the Scripture, and I want us to look at three other passages of Scripture found in Luke 1 and Luke 2. So look with me, if you will, in verse 15 of Luke, verse 26 of Luke 1. Verse 26 of Luke 1. And so here we're talking in Luke 2 about this 12-year-old. And we're talking about the one who came, who's literally finishing this 12th year, and then it's his bar mitzvah, and then he will move from youth into manhood. But here we're finding the Annunciation. So Mary, who is pondering in her heart, who is weighing in her heart, who is treasuring in her heart, here in Luke 2, began to treasure in Luke 1. And look what it says in verse 26 of Luke 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now notice what happens. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. Mary became perplexed because the angel was there, and she began to ponder. So Mary not only treasures those things in her heart, but she is pondering things in her heart. And look at verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Now why did the angel say, "Do not be afraid"? Because Mary was shaking in her boots. And as we begin to look in Scripture and we see where the angels appeared even to the shepherds, the angel says, "Do not be afraid." Why did he say, "Do not be afraid"? Because they were scared. And it was an angel and a change that was not normal, but it was miraculous. And because of that, there was fear in their hearts. And the angel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Now, ladies, can you imagine what Mary is pondering and thinking about at this moment when an angel is saying, "You're going to have a boy"? And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, men, I want you to think about this just for a moment, because Mary is not just pondering this. Mary is having to hear a message that this is not just a birth of a boy, but this is God. This is the Son of the Most High. This is the Lord God that Joseph knew was going to be in Mary's womb. And he will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of the father of David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" Now, church, it's okay for you to ask questions of the Spirit of God. And one of the great things about Mary, as she is pondering and treasuring in her heart, she is asking questions. How can this be? I am a virgin. And the angel, verse 35, answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." For, here's verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Now, isn't it amazing? Mary not only was given how it was going to happen, but Mary was given the fact that it was happening to Elizabeth as well. And so every time Mary would see Elizabeth, she would know that shouldn't be happening either. But God said it would happen, it's happening, and it's happening to me. And Mary was pondering these things in her heart. Now, man, I don't know if I understand at all women. I wish I did. I read something the other day that said, don't talk about understanding women. Just tell them that you want to learn about them. And here was the statement. The statement was, most women don't understand themselves either. So how can you expect to understand someone that doesn't understand themselves? Now, men, that would be true with you and me too. We just don't want to admit it as much. How do we understand in the midst of this what's going on? We don't know necessarily what's going on, but something's going on in our heart, and we're pondering those things, and we are trying to find and make meaning of it. Look at verse 37. "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said in verse 38, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed. Oh, church, can we hear this today? May it be done unto me according to your word. Now, what Mary is saying is, I don't understand what's going on, but I do understand this. It's not natural for an angel of God to speak to someone like me. And so I'm simply being humbled and submissive, and I'm saying, be it unto me whatever needs to be. Wow. Wouldn't that be great if all of us could come to the point of saying, be it done to me as you would wish, Father. Be it done to me as you would wish. Now, that's the Annunciation. Let's move over, and we're in chapter 2, and we're in verse 15. And I want to look at this passage, because here we find something really unique, because they're in Bethlehem now. And verse 15 of chapter 2, the scripture says, "And the angels had gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened.'" And then we move on down and we find in verse 19, "But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart." Okay, so now Mary's not just treasuring, but she's pondering these things in her heart. So she treasures these things. She knows that they're valuable. She knows it's a part of the journey. And she's learning how to live the journey by living the journey. But now she's pondering. And the word pondering is kind of like a ping pong game. It's that her mind is saying, well, this comes from this side, and now it comes from this side. And she begins to think different kinds of things. And she's pondering in her mind how in the world this happens, how in the world this is, and what does it mean for her? Have you ever been at that point? Have you ever wondered what in the world is going on? Well, in Mary's heart was a treasure. The treasure was that the angel has said that you will be. And she said, be it unto me. Whatever you say, I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to yield to that. Be it what may. She was willing to do it. But Mary was pondering all things, and she kept them. She treasured them in her heart. Look at verse 22 in Luke 2. And when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord. And then a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And what that means is that the Lord Jesus' family didn't have any money. They were on poverty. But it was good enough for the offering for God. In verse 25, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was righteous and devout. Now here's the verse I want us to think about. It's verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so here, Mary and Joseph are in the temple. And here it's proclaimed to them who Jesus is. And that he would be a light, not just for the Jewish world, but that he would be a light for the Gentiles. Now that's a heavy thing for a young person like Mary. And many would say that Mary was somewhere between 13 and 15 years of age when she had Jesus as a son. Now think about that just for a moment. Here is a young girl, a young, not even teenager maybe, but for sure a young teenager who is pondering, who's weighing these things and trying to take on the fact that in her body is the Son of God. Now, in a lot of our world today, people would say that Mary is really special. What I would say is, yes, Mary is special, but Mary's no more special than any other mother. Mary was really an every woman model in our world today, because she was just a humble servant. She was just a young lady that God wanted to do something with. And church, I think God wants to do something with all of us as we journey. The question is, are we willing to let him do his work with us? And so as we look at this, we begin to see these stories. And there's two or three other places in Scripture we could go, but I think we've got enough today to set the stage that Mary, this young girl, was pondering these things. Literally, she was treasuring these things. And so now let's go forward and let's go to John 19. And in John 19, and you don't need to turn there necessarily, but you might want to later today, we'll find that Mary was at the cross. And here is the mother of Jesus, and she's there at the cross, and she's looking at the cross, and Jesus is on the cross. And as Jesus is on the cross, he says to John, "Take care of my mother." And even on the cross, Jesus was concerned about his mom. But it's important for us to understand the heart of a mother. Do you have any idea, and I don't, but do you have any idea that when Mary realized what was happening to her in the beginning of Luke, that when she moved to the cross, that she would have to live that out? Can you imagine the pain and the heart that she had? And Mary was one who had to let her son be on that cross, knowing that he was the Son of God and wondering how in the world he failed. But Scripture says she was also not just at the cross. She was connected with the disciples at the resurrection. And even at the ascension in Acts 1, we find that Mary is there. And I'm sure she was there in the upper room. And Mary was a part of the beginning of the new church. And our Lord Jesus, his mother, saw it all. And as she treasured these things in her heart, I wonder what it meant to her to see the fruit of it when she was able to see her resurrected son. Okay, church, what does this mean for us today? Mary treasured in her heart. But what does this mean for us today? I just think three things I want us to look at. Number one is it means something important for us today in the sense of humility. In reality, Mary was willing to say, "Be it unto me whatever your word says." Church, This is a question not just for a mother, it's a question for all of us. Are you willing to say to God today, be whatever it is, according to your word? According to your word, I will yield to your word today. Church, are you willing to do that? The message for us today, as we begin to treasure things in our heart, is to understand that we must yield to Him and His Word. Are you willing to humble yourself to Holy God today? The second thing I want us to talk about is the concept of wonder. And church, maybe this is a message for you today, I don't know. But I know it's a message for a lot of individuals today. Because Mary was amazed. And Mary wondered at what was going on. And Mary was surprised. And Mary was intrigued with the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, are you in awe of God today and what He can do with you in this church and your family? Wonder. Wonder. Mary treasured in her heart because what she treasured in her heart was the importance of wonder. And she knew what it meant to understand the wonder of God. Oh, maybe it was John 2 where Jesus saw his mother and his mother said, hey, we're out of wine. Can you go make some wine for the guests at the wedding? And Jesus did. And Mary knew that the Lord Jesus could do some miraculous, wonderful things. And Mary never lost sight of the wonder and the amazement of God. Church, is your God a wonderful God? Are you in awe of what He can do today in your life? Maybe the message for all of us today is that as we humble ourselves in His presence, we begin to see how awesome that He is. Well, there's a third thing, and the third thing is simply this for us today. Found in this text, the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon about who Jesus was. The Holy Spirit told Simeon, you don't have to die until you see salvation. And so Simeon came into the room, and there was Mary, and there was Joseph. And it was amazing because he said, as he took Jesus in his hands, this is salvation for the world. Wow. Church, is God revealing to you the next step for your life? It's right here. It's in the Bible. You know, it's amazing because Jesus is the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so Mary was wanting to know the Word, and the Word was in her womb. Wow, isn't that amazing? But the angel came to explain to her, and she was in awe, and she was submissive. But she understood that it was His Word that makes the difference in our life. Church, whatever you do, you need to be in the Word of God. And as we begin to think about the things that we treasure in our heart, it comes from His Word as we walk it out in the journey and live it out in the journey. It's amazing what God does when He takes His Word, puts it in our heart, and then lets it come out of our lives in action. Church, are you living out God's Word today? Are you living out God's Word today? Well, maybe not a Mother's Day sermon today, but a message about a mother, a unique mother. There was only one mother that ever bore the Son of God. And so Mary is important because she was a mother, and she was Jesus' mother. No more important than any other mother, really. But she was one who was willing to be humbled. And she was one who was in awe at how great God is. And she knew that it was based on His revelation, His Word. Would you bow your heads with me? Church, are you in awe with God today? Do you know Him? Do you know the wonder of His way, His journey? There'll be someone here today to receive you. Maybe you just need to come forward and say yes to Jesus. Whatever it is, would you be willing to say yes to Jesus today? Maybe salvation. Maybe there's someone here today that would say, this baby, I've never accepted the fact that he is the Son of God. And maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you need to come join this church. Some of you would say, well, I don't want to join this church until we get a pastor. Listen, church, God is not calling you to a pastor. He is calling you to a church. If he's speaking to your heart, would you come join this church today? Maybe there's someone that needs to be baptized today. Whatever it is, if God is speaking to you, would you just simply pause and say, be it done to me, Lord Jesus. Your will, be it done to me. And would you stand amazed in the presence of God? And would you thank him that he is a God of revelation and he will show you the way? Father, we bless you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this church, how great and wonderful that it is. Father, thank you for Mary and how you used her and how she was willing to be used. Father, would you use us and may we be willing to be used today. In Jesus' name, amen.